This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Candy bars, potato chips, and nachos are harder for students to buy in school cafeterias than they were just a few years ago. And it's almost become old news to hear about schools removing soda from the vending machines and replacing it with juice and bottled water. Schools are on the front lines of the battle against childhood obesity. And even beyond changes in nutrition, several states measure students' body mass index, or BMI, and send the score home to parents. Some school districts, including Gillette, Wyoming, include this number on report cards, as if the grades weren't nerve-wracking enough. In this particular school district, select students are considered overweight or at risk and are invited to take part in an afternoon fitness and nutrition program. Some parents feel this is a bridge too far. Later, the FDA considers changing the ingredients in one favorite diet buster, chocolate. But first, just how far should schools go to fight childhood obesity? Should schools single out children for fitness and nutrition classes? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can email us at talk@npr.org. And you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. First, we turn to Mindy Story. She's a parent in Gillette, Wyoming. Her daughter, Brittany, received her BMI score on a report card. Mindy, thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome.
What was your reaction when you saw Brittany's BMI score?
I was angry. She came home upset. Brittany is an A and B student, and at the bottom of the report card, it basically said she was fat, and that really ruined her day. You know, when you get an A and B report card, you're supposed to be happy, not upset.
Do you think she's fat?
She is overweight. She is a chunky child. She's always been a chunky child. But I'm not concerned about it. She's still in elementary school right now. She's still growing.
So do you think putting the BMI on the report card, was the school going too far?
Yes, I believe it was going too far. They're opening a whole door there for self-esteem issues, eating disorders. I do not feel that that should be on that report card.
And was it just a number, or was there some explanation of what a BMI is and what you could do to lower the score?
There was an explanation of what it was. It gave a percentile of where your child was and, you know, basically said they were overweight, underweight, or average.
And was Brittany invited to take part in this after-school class?
Yes, she was.
Did she go?
She went one time, and they did an evaluation of her with her weight and height and strength abilities and asked her to keep a diary of things that she ate and things that she did, and she did that for a couple days and then decided she wasn't going to do that anymore.
And as her mom, what do you think would have been more helpful if she were worried about her weight or you were worried about her weight?
If I would have got a discreet letter in the mail, and if I chose to do something about that, lessened that, not put it on a report card, not send it home in class. Only certain students got this letter in class, and it made them feel very embarrassed because they knew they were the overweight kids. I don't think they should have publicly did that. I think it should have been something a little more discreet and maybe cared a little bit about their feelings.
And do you think the school is addressing these issues on other levels? Do you think they're helpful if you're trying to keep your kids healthy?
Yes, I think the nutrition program was healthy. And for those parents who have time to get their children to these after-school programs, then, yeah, they are helpful.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mindy Story has joined us from the local Albertsons grocery store in Gillette, Wyoming, where she works as a clerk, sharing the story of her daughter, Brittany. Let's bring in Dr. Joe Thompson. He's a pediatrician and surgeon general for the state of Arkansas. He was instrumental in getting statewide body mass index measurements for students in his state. Dr. Thompson is also the director of the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement and joins us from Soundscape Studios in Little Rock, Arkansas. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
So you just heard Mindy's story, tell her story of getting the BMI measurements on her child's report card in Wyoming. What are you hearing from parents in Arkansas?
Well, I think Mindy's reporting a different strategy than we've taken here in Arkansas. Our health report that goes home to parents that includes the BMI information as well as things the parents can do goes directly to parents, and it's assessed of all children in a confidential and private way. And so it really is a different strategy to get important health information home to parents. It's part of a broader strategy, too, to change what's in the cafeterias, to change, as you mentioned before, what's in the vending machines and when the vending machines are available for purchases. It's also part of a broader strategy to raise the awareness of our clinicians and their support of families who have overweight children.
And did you, as a state, debate whether or not to wade into this area of judging children's weight? And did you debate whether or not BMI was the best factor?
The original legislation that started our broad-based initiative, the Act 1220 on child and adolescent obesity, had the requirement that the BMI percentile be placed on the report card. We actually went back in a special session and changed that so it would not be perceived to be as a grade or a judgment on the child's performance, but that it be shared with parents in a separate health report. The Institute of Medicine and the National American Academy of Pediatricians have recommended that every parent know their child's BMI percentile every year. And so that's the strategy we took, is to help make sure that parents knew the information, not that we use children as a way to communicate to parents, and for sure not that we cause children to be concerned about their weight as a grade of their individual self-esteem.
And just to clarify, body mass index, it's a ratio of weight to height, right? It's not a fitness assessment.
Correct. It's a ratio of your weight to your height squared. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has put out normative data that shows where the United States population has been and was in 1970. And essentially over the last three decades, we've seen a tripling of the number of children that are in the overweight or obese category by CDC definitions.
And is there a way for either a local school nurse or a teacher to say, to use some judgment and say, well, this child's BMI score seems high, but actually they're very muscular, or there's something that changes that just basic math?
Sure. What we've done in Arkansas is we've required every child to be assessed. So we're not picking kids that we think are overweight and assessing them. We're assessing every child, and every parent whose child is assessed gets a report. That lets us identify the overweight kids. It also helps us identify the underweight kids who may be at risk of eating disorders or other issues. What we do in our report is actually share with the parent why it's important, what it is, when their child was assessed, and what the parents could do about it if they had an overweight child. Obviously, the BMI is a screening tool, and with all screening tests, you have the potential for false positives or to have the test say that you may have an abnormality when you don't have it. For BMI, the two most common reasons that you have a false positive is if the child is very muscular, doesn't have much fat, muscle weighs more than fat, so it gives you a falsely high reading. The other possibility is if you have a very, very tall individual who is made up mostly of bones and is very lean, bone weighs more than fat, and so those two mechanisms can give you a false positive reading. But I think we try to explain to parents this is a screening test, and if they have a concern that they don't feel like this is an appropriate finding, that they seek help from their clinician or their family doctor to help assess whether they should take action.
And how would you assess childhood obesity in Arkansas? Is it a big problem? Is it a growing problem?
I think we've got to be careful because it is a very significant problem. When we went out and measured every public school child, kindergarten through 12th grade, and provided parents their information, we had 40% of our public school children in the state that were in the two heaviest weight categories by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's definition. That was 10% more than the national estimates just 3 years earlier. So I think the epidemic has the potential to be growing very quickly. We as a society have failed to recognize that we're getting heavier over the last 10 or 20 years, and it's really a simple equation of the calories we take in has to equal the calories we burn off. But particularly for our kids, they're much more sedentary, they're in front of video games, computer games, television much more, and the food that they eat is much more calorically laden. So we've got this balance that if we're not careful, our children of today are going to develop adult diseases much sooner than the past generation.
Let's hear from Angela in Connecticut. Angela, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Oh, yes. Hi. I was just calling. My school next year is instituting a policy for the elementary school where they're eliminating the parties. We're not going to be allowed to bring in cupcakes or treats or anything. And my comment to the school principal was, have you ever walked around the cafeteria at lunchtime and see what the kids bring in for lunch? And I think that I think that some ways that there is a problem with childhood obesity absolutely in our country, but we are approaching it some ways the wrong way. I think we need to, educate the kids, and also we need to change parents.
Angela, thanks for your call. Carrot sticks at birthday parties in class, is that the answer?
Well, I think, again, the callers are identifying specific contributors, but not the single cause. What we did in Arkansas is we allowed each classroom to have a party once a month to put the birthdays together and to continue to be allowed to support Thanksgiving parties and holiday parties and springtime Valentine's Day parties. But we didn't feel like it was appropriate to have daily parties going on in the classroom and to have food being used, for example, as a reward for educational goals, which was fairly frequent across the classrooms of our Arkansas school system. And it's not to say that that's the root cause of obesity, but it is sending a message and it is a contributing cause that as a society we've got to wake up and recognize that there's not just one cause, but we've got to look broadly for calories that are going in and the physical activity that's not happening.
It's interesting that the BMI testing was introduced in Arkansas under former Governor Mike Huckabee, who had this very public campaign. He lost 100 pounds himself. He made weight loss and fitness a goal of his administration. The current governor has changed the BMI testing to every other year instead. What do you think of that change?
We've been in our initiative now, this is our fourth year that we're collecting BMI information, and we'll report it home to every parent in kindergarten through 12th grade. I think the change in the periodicity, next year we will go to every other year, the kindergarten, second, fourth, sixth, eighth, 10th grade. I think that's an appropriate step because now we have raised awareness and we're having parents start to take action. It's important for us to continue to track progress, though, and to be able to provide parents information. It's important also to recognize our schools are under intense pressure to demonstrate academic performance. The No Child Left Behind requirements and so forth don't have physical activity or BMI on it as far as a performance indicator. So we have to be judicious in the time we use of school personnel.
We're talking about some of the measures schools take to combat childhood obesity. What's going on at your child's school? The number to call, 800-989-TALK. Or send us email, talk@npr.org. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. We're talking about how far schools should go to fight childhood obesity. One report says some 17% of kids are overweight. That's way up from previous decades. But when it comes to treating and preventing obesity, can schools go too far? Our guest is Dr. Joe Thompson, a pediatrician and the Surgeon General for the state of Arkansas. Again, you're invited to join the discussion. How far should schools go to fight students' obesity? Should they single out children for fitness and nutrition classes? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK or send us email, talk@npr.org, and check out our blog, npr.org/blog of the nation. Dr. Thompson, you were talking about the limited resources you have and given the long list of health imperatives in the state of Arkansas. How did you decide to fund and sustain this BMI index measurement system? Do you have extra funding for that?
We've not had direct funding from the legislature to initiate this. We've tried to fold it into the active efforts of our school nurse personnel, and not that a nurse has to do the measurement, but a nurse needs to oversee the accuracy and the validity of the information that we send home. Importantly, schools already screen for vision problems and hearing problems and scoliosis problems, and this is one more health screen that we hope to add to the portfolio because we're in the middle of an epidemic that truly threatens the future health and productivity of the children that we're trying to train to be healthy working adults in the state.
Let's hear from Sean in Boise. Sean, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi there.
Sean, yeah. You're on the air.
Yes, my position on this is that here in our school district, our children only have 2 days a week for PE, for physical education, and then in their lunch program, they're feeding them French toast and stuff like that. What's the difference between French toast and syrup, which is nothing but carbs and sugar, versus Coke?
Thanks for your call. Dr. Thompson, have you been able to try to increase physical education classes or change the nutritional content of school lunches in addition to these other efforts?
We've looked at both issues and are trying to approach this in a combined strategy. We've, on the cafeteria side, we've tried to address the improvement of the school offerings and also the education of the cafeteria workers so that they're more knowledgeable and able to address a more balanced diet with good nutrition. On the physical education side, we've standardized what the ratio of PE teachers to students are, and we've put certification requirements in for our physical education teachers. Importantly, however, we've actually asked schools to increase not the formal physical education classroom time, but the physical activity of students so that they open the gym up at lunch, that they make certain facilities available that are on campus but not used to allow kids to be physically active. Again, coming at it from a holistic approach, what can we do for the kids that are in the school environment for sometimes a majority of their waking time period?
Dr. Joe Thompson is Surgeon General of Arkansas. He's joining us from Soundscape Studios in Little Rock. I'm also joined now by Kim Loggio. She studies many of the issues surrounding body image. She's a professor of sociology at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and joins us from member station WHYY. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rebecca.
What do you think about BMI as a measurement tool? Is it useful?
Well, it is useful because it's easy to get. And as Dr. Thompson said, it is just a screening tool, and screening tools have their problems. Body mass index was initially developed by healthcare professionals to measure obesity in adults. And so we right away recognize that there are problems in that height to weight ratio for children whose bodies are changing, and as they grow up and grow bigger, that their body sizes change. So it's really just a screening tool. In fact, the health professionals call it an indirect measure of overweight. Direct measures would be costly and essentially impossible in a school setting, things like underwater weighing and something called DXA that involves X-ray. That would be a better measure of being overweight, but those are costly and difficult to do.
And what do you think about using it in a school context?
I think that, as you know, it is a screening tool and it is readily available. It's easy enough to do. You measure their height and their weight, and then you calculate it and chart it on the CDC's guidelines for percentile for children based on their sex, their gender, and their age. And so it's something schools can do, and it's better than doing nothing, because I agree with what Dr. Thompson has said. This is an epidemic. We have seen, as he pointed out from the Centers for Disease Control, a huge increase in the amount of children who are obese. So something does need to be done. So it is a screening tool that's available, but it needs to be used very cautiously.
Let's take a call from Maureen in Cleveland. Maureen, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Maureen, you're on the air. What's your comment?
My comment is, in Solon, Ohio, what they have are playground pods or zones where the children are active on the playground, and a lot of this requires parent supervision, which is sometimes hard to get. But instead of the kids just sitting around, they have four areas. They have organized games, free play games, and then that way the children are always moving on the playground as opposed to sitting around and talking.
And had that been a problem, that kids were sitting around and talking on the playground instead of moving?
At our school it is, and we're looking at what other schools in the Cleveland area are doing to implement some healthy kids measures and programs so that our kids can be healthier, as we realize, you know, obesity and childhood overweight is an epidemic.
Maureen, thanks for your call. Joe Thompson, this brings up the sort of motivation question. You mentioned opening up the gym at lunch and making these things more available, but how do you make kids go?
Well, I think one of the things that we've taken a strategy on is it's not to target the child. This is really going to have to be a familial change. The child's going to have to see changes happen and have opportunities at school, but most importantly, it's going to have to be reinforced at home. So on our health report home to every family, we've encouraged limiting television screen time, having the family have a regular physical activity pattern, moving to low-fat milk or non-fat milk and diet soft drinks if they have soft drinks. So we've given all families tools that they can use to raise their awareness and take action to lead a healthier life. And I think that's really an important difference in targeting kids to say you've got a weight problem versus wrapping support and information around a family to help them make change.
On that point of targeting kids, we have email from John in Cleveland who says, speaking as a formerly overweight child, I would prefer that fat, chunky, pudgy children should be separated in gym class from the fit students. This will stop the fit kids from ridiculing heavy students and promote self-esteem in a gym class geared to helping the children lose weight. Furthermore, this will not make the heavy kids so self-conscious of their lack of physical abilities to participate in gym activities. What do you think of that, Kim Loggio?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and certainly I can't disagree with his personal experiences. But I do feel that fitness education classes need to be available across the board to all students. And fitness education is more than simply being able to play dodgeball or climb the rope wall or whatever it is they're able to do. And certainly we know that depending on the region where the school is located and what the student body population is, we know the availability of resources for physical education classes is very variant. But I think that it needs to be for all students, and there is more to PE, and that means there's more than just the ability to run around the gym without getting out of breath. And I think that separating children who have a weight problem, if you can say it that way, who are overweight, from the more physically fit children is damaging. I think that could be what Miss Story's daughter, Brittany, experienced, something that has a damaging effect on their self-esteem in a different way than perhaps being the one more out of breath when in physical education class.
I would completely concur. I mean, I think one of the things that we've got to rethink is our physical education classes are frequently built around competitive team sports, which reinforce the successful physically fit children and ostracize somewhat the less competitive, maybe less coordinated children. One of the things we've seen in some PE courses is a total abandonment of team sports and the establishment of personal health goals that leads to a lifelong capacity to advance against your own personal best as opposed to competing with another child that may be have physically much more prowess.
Let's hear from Dennis in Lake Tulloch, California. Welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hello?
Hello, Dennis. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on some of the calls I heard earlier about parents that are offended by getting a body mass index on the report cards. I can't believe that a parent would allow their child to be overweight and subject to all of the diseases that they're likely to get, like heart disease, reduced life, et cetera, et cetera, lower quality of life. And being fat, they're going to be ridiculed at school no matter what. I don't care. That's the way it is. So why would a parent be upset? I mean, it's like, are you trying to deny that your child is overweight? And then all this nonsense about the BMI index and float them in water and blah, blah, blah. Hey, look at the kid and say, are you overweight? I mean, I'm an adult. I can look at a child and say, if they're overweight or not.
Dennis, thanks for your call. Kim Loggio?
Yeah, I chuckled a little bit there. Certainly, we can say that there are serious health concerns if you're overweight. And as a parent, our responsibility to our children is to do everything we can to keep them healthy. And just like we eventually teach them as infants to eat with a fork and a knife, we need to teach them to choose the right thing on their plate. And that's as important a lesson as any. So I agree with the caller in that respect, but I also recognize that, for example, in Brittany's case, it started out the story that, you know, her mother said she's always been a chunky kid, she's a little overweight, I'm not concerned, she's still growing. I think that's a really valid point, that they are growing, they are changing, our body size, our body types change, and Brittany may not be physically unfit. She may be, looks-wise, a little bit bigger than what's considered normal, but she may not be physically unfit. And that's why BMI is problematic, because it's only a simple measure, a screening tool that doesn't necessarily give us a true direct measure of being overweight. And, you know, that's something to consider.
It could also help parents feel a little bit whipsawed, you know, that in past years, self-esteem involved being proud of your body image and not feeling like you had to be shaped like Barbie. And now if, you know, self-esteem, it's sort of a hard to find the middle ground if you want children to feel comfortable in their own skin and they happen to be bigger than average. You know, where do you draw that line?
Absolutely. And I think it's a really, unfortunately, a really fine line between embracing what's an unhealthy body size and feeling confident in your own skin. We are not all cut from the same mold. We have different hip sizes. Our waist-to-hip ratio is different. Our heights are different. As Dr. Thompson pointed out earlier, we have a lot of differences. Our muscle weighs more than fat, and bone weighs more than fat. And all of that is different. And it's very important. As a sociologist, I feel very strongly that it's more important that our children feel confident and have a good, positive self-body image. That'll take them much farther in life than most other things. And I think that's really important and can't be understated. But having said that, it's difficult to get to that positive self-image and strong confidence if we are overweight and eating the wrong thing and not exercising and taking in more calories than we're exerting. And so there's a lesson there, and it's the responsibility of the parents. And I do think a bit of responsibility of the schools. They spend a considerable amount of time in the school setting, and it would just undermine any efforts parents make if the school is not in some way reinforcing those lessons about how to eat healthy, read labels, choose the right foods, choose the right kind of exercise, and then you'll feel good about yourself, no matter what your body size, as long as you're healthy.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Joe Thompson, Kim Loggia talked about kids coming in different shapes and sizes and different factors contributing to differences in BMI, but also kids, of course, are changing constantly. So at different points in their development, they may be at different points on the scale. You know, we've all watched a kid sort of get chubby right before a growth spurt, the sort of getting out before they grow up scenario. What do you say to parents who say, oh, you know, he's just growing, it's just a phase?
Well, I think it's important. There are unfortunately a large number of kids that we would all agree that are significantly overweight. But there's another group of kids that are becoming overweight, and that is frequently the excuse or the comment that parents provide. The BMI percentile, if done correctly and using the age-specific data from the Center for Disease Control, can be fairly accurate in its terms of telling where a child is. We've compared our Arkansas data to the CDC data, and the height data is right on. The weight data, unfortunately, is some 20 to 40 pounds heavier for our kids' distribution than it was as little as three decades ago from the nation's distribution. So I think it is an important thing to say, okay, my kid's developing, but what we've done is given that information to parents to kind of give them a warning sign to say, let's watch this. And if they don't grow into their weight in the next year or two, or if they're really extreme on their BMI, we may need to pay closer attention to the number of calories they're taking in or the physical activity that they're actually getting on a daily basis.
Let's hear from Burhani in Aurora, Colorado. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Appreciate it for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm just, you know, suggested that they're blaming parents or the school district might not help that much. I think it's just we have to be honestly talking to our kids in the household. And at the same time, the school district has to make available PE programs more than what we have right now. Instead of 2 days a week, 3 days or 4 days, at the same time, the cafeteria has to be providing some nutritious foods and fruits instead of the pizza 2 days or 3 days in a cafeteria food schedule. And I think it is I believe if the school district and parents have real understanding about this, it shouldn't be a dilemma. It shouldn't be a problem. I think we have the same goal and trying to reach to some kind of a reasonable, healthy weight to be seen in our children. And I think it is our responsibility to take care of it instead of blaming one another.
Burhani, thank you so much for your call. Joe Thompson, have you sort of seen a tipping point among parents and kids and schools of awareness of these nutrition issues and people starting to pay attention to these needs?
I think one of the unexpected and very positive results that we've had from our broad-based initiative is that we've actually raised the level of dialogue so that it's not finger-pointing, as the immediate past caller was suggesting that we should not do, but it's recognizing that we all have a responsibility and a contribution. An external evaluation by our College of Public Health that surveyed overweight teenagers in high schools has actually documented a 50% drop in weight-based teasing in the high school environment. So I think that's a very positive accomplishment.
Joe Thompson is the director of the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement. He joined us from Soundscapes in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Kim Loggio, sociologist who studies body image, she joined us from WHYY in Philadelphia. When we come back from a short break, the fight to keep chocolate tasting like, well, chocolate. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.